Raise your hand if you want to be less busy and have more impact. On today's episode, we learn from a very special guest who left their comfort zone by selling everything they owned in order to follow a dream of traveling the world. Chris Lovett was not aware at the time that the act of having less would actually create more, including becoming an author of a best-selling book, a TEDx speaker, and having the ability to work less to do more. If you're looking for inspiration to declutter and reorganize your life, then sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. All right. Well, hi, Chris. Welcome to the Carry On Bags Only podcast.
Hey, Kelsey. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So where are you, I guess, calling in from right now?
I am currently right in the middle of London and Brighton, which is on the south coast of the UK. So, yeah, so I kind of get a little fix of the ocean and a little fix of the city. So arm's length of both. But yeah, I'm from South London. So listeners might pick up the kind of diluted Cockney accent as we go through. But I've tended to gravitate further to the coast as I've got older. So yeah, so currently I'm literally right in the middle. So if I need to go into the city, I can do. And if I want to go to the beach, and I can do that too.
Oh, that's amazing. Yes, I love it. I also move closer to the ocean too. And I'm in the city, but it's just nice to be able to have the advantage of being close to the mountains and the ocean and the city. Get the best of everything.
There you go. Someone's struggle.
Well, I'll introduce you to our listeners. So I was really excited to be able to sit down with Chris as we both share a passion for travel. Another thing that we have in common is living a minimalist life, as there's nothing worse than being bogged down by stuff. So I know, Chris, you're a coach, a TED Talk speaker, career mentor, disruptive thought leader, and also the author of the best-selling book, Discovery of Less, which will be available as an audiobook coming up soon. So one of the things that I wanted to quote was, Chris helps burnt out and overworked people simplify their busy lives so they can have a bigger impact on the world. Yes, you heard that right.
Yeah.
Do less so they can achieve so much more. I started Carry On Bags Only to educate, encourage, and inspire people to get outside and travel while also packing minimally to lower their carbon footprint when traveling. But Chris, your focus was actually on getting rid of the items in your home. And one kind of, I guess, positive of that was to be able to travel. So I wanted to hear a little bit more about your story with transitioning into minimalism to be able to go and travel.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the intro. I think I'll need to kind of reduce some of them labels, right? Like, there's so many. Yeah, it's all started a bit weird, Kelsey, to be honest. I did a TED talk, which is still bizarre. And when I was writing that talk, I had to try and get my story into like 14, 15 minutes. So I had to squeeze my kind of life story into a small amount of time. And I managed to do it. And basically, I stumbled on clutter in my apartment that I was living in back in 2016, 2017. And it got me so annoyed that I went to sell it, but I couldn't find the right avenues, or I just didn't really have the impetus. I didn't have a why. Why would I sell my stuff? You know, to make a little bit of money, but you know, it wasn't going to clear the debt that I was in, or it wasn't going to, you know, massively impact my life, until I realized that I wanted to go traveling. But I couldn't do the traveling bit because I didn't have any money, and I had a job that was not soul sucking, but it was really comfortable, and it was difficult to get out of the comfort zone. And I thought, if I go traveling, then I might miss out on stuff, like miss out on promotions or, you know, opportunities and things like that. But I kind of had this only live once type approach. And I was like, well, if I don't do it now, will I ever get another chance again? So I took a career break and I funded my traveling by selling my stuff. So all the stuff that I never used, so the books, the DVDs, music collection, tech, furniture, gadgets, and then my home. And so all of that funded this kind of 8-month journey around the world. And when I came back, I realized that actually I didn't really need a lot of stuff to enjoy all the best bits of life. It was the people I was meeting. It was the places I was going, what I was learning. And throughout that period, I was like, all of these stories that I was telling people, it never had anything to do with the recent iPhone I bought. or the watch or the car. It was they didn't make an appearance at all. It was the experiences. So I went about life kind of thinking, how can I get an abundance of experiences rather than an abundance of stuff? So I kind of ended up moving back to the UK and trying to live this minimalist life, even though I didn't really know what it was, and looked for like, where's the template? And then realized that the template didn't work. So almost like, how do I do it myself? You know, how do I do it as a just turned 40 at that time? And how do I do it when I've got a remote job? So I'd still work with a career that I really enjoy now, and loads of different things. So I made it work for me. So it was less stuff, more adventures. And this is where this whole kind of less busy, more impact has come from. Because during that time, I used minimalism at work. So I reduced my time that I was at work by days, not by hours. So I do a 4-day week. So if people haven't maybe researched about the 4-day work week, maybe have a little look at that. So we can generally do the same amount of work in 4 days instead of five. So that's a big thing. So I do 4 day, I do a 4-day work week, which gives me a day or a 3-day weekend every week to go traveling, to rest, to go on adventures, to see friends, all this type of stuff. So that's now part of life. So work and life and adventures are all molded into one now for me. And hence now I am less busy, but I have such a bigger impact on the people that I serve as a coach. So actually, I'm making more of an impact in the world than I ever was when I was working ridiculous hours, you know, longer, and things like that. So that's my approach of life now. And it's kind of all links back to that very, very first stepping on an open CD case and hurting my foot and swearing at an inanimate object and and calling it all the names under the sun. And it started from that moment. And here we are now, where I'm talking about this story to yourself, Kelsey, and hopefully, you know, trying to inspire people around the world to, you know, be less busy, have more impact, and look after themselves so they can look after the people around them by having more adventures and having less stuff.
Yeah, it's cool to see that when you started with it, it was just with actual stuff, physical items, and how much the minimalist theme has actually transcended into so much of your life. And in your book, you talk about, like, you know, digital detox, almost like getting rid of, you know, social media or things that you don't really need. Mm-hmm. And I can so much identify with that. When I started kind of getting into minimalism, I was doing it, not realizing I was doing it. And then as I was kind of going along, I remember I lived in a place, the first time I lived in Vancouver, it was a small bachelor studio. I didn't have a ton of stuff in it. Like, I had just kind of moved in and was just kind of restarting, but you had to be really thoughtful with the space because it was so small. Yeah. And I remember when I was about to leave, the landlord was like, one of the people that came through was like very impressed with your space and wanted to know if you're a minimalist.
It's like, oh, did they not see my minimalist badge?
Yeah.
Or my certificate to say that I was. Maybe it was just because my wardrobe was, you know, literally just everything was black. All my clothes were black. I don't do that, by the way. I did meet another minimalist last week, and he was saying, oh, I'd have lots and lots of black t-shirts. I'm like, great, that's amazing for you. Yeah. I want a little bit more color, but I'm totally down with, like, the no labels, the very clean aesthetic type thing. I'm totally down for that. Each person has their own kind of view on what minimalism is. And I'm totally with you, Kelsey, because I didn't really know what it was. It was just an activity. Decluttering was an activity that had an end goal, and the end goal was either money or space. Whether it was your stuff or like family members' stuff, it had a very short-term end goal.
Yeah.
And then the minimalism thing was then, oh, hold on, this is a lifestyle. This is a way of living and being. And that's when it became a lot more about, how does it align with my values and where I am today and where I'll be tomorrow and things like that. So yeah, I hear you.
Oh, it's so cool. It's cool to meet other people that are doing, you know, something similar, because I'm sure, as you know, I do, you get a lot of questions about it from people, because it's like, you know, how do you do that? How do you transition to that? I can't part with these things. And it is hard when you first get into it, but when you start doing it, it almost has the reverse effect. Then you start really getting into it and then you're like, what can I get rid of? And, it's just kind of a freeing feeling just to know. So I guess one of the questions that I had for you, because I was reading through one of the chapters in the book and I was laughing so hard because you documented packing for a trip and how took so much time trying to pack. I think you had borrowed backpacks and you had two, you had a small one and a big one. And you were like leaning towards the big one and you just go through the struggle of trying to pack this backpack for a trip.
Thanks for the memories.
But I figured that's kind of one of those things that other people probably I myself can even relate to, that where you pack for a trip and you overpack and then you don't use half the stuff. So I was just curious when you did that trip, you know, how that was after, you know, you finally eventually got your bag packed. But I think you were, one of the things too you were documenting was there was two hats you wanted to wear.
Oh God, yeah.
And you're like, okay, I guess they're not making it in here, but you obviously went on the trip and it was fine. So
yeah, everything was fine. But yeah, surprisingly, right? Yeah, the psychology behind packing and packing the stuff that we own and things like that is fascinating. And yeah, you know, there's a myriad of things that go through your mind when you're packing stuff. Normally you pack for many eventualities that are never going to happen, and plus 25%. Yeah. And then you squeeze everything in and you take it all and you lug it around the airport or the boat or wherever it is. You curse the weight of everything on your back, which is a metaphor for everything you're carrying with you, not just the stuff, it's the mental stories that you carry with you through life. And as you start to shed some of that, you start to relinquish some of those stories as well, around things that are important and, you know, things that used to be what you believe is needed and what really isn't. And again, that translates into work as well. But yeah, the two hats story was ridiculous, which is why my editor at the time, because I was talking to him about it, and he goes, you've got to put that in the book. And I was like, come on, mate, this is me really bearing my soul here. And he's like, yes, please, just people want to know about the ridiculous thoughts that went through your mind at the time. I was like, all right, well, here we go. So if people have not read the book yet, the basic story is I had two hats. I had like a pork pie hat and a trilby hat that I kind of used when I was like clubbing and going out a lot. And I hadn't really worn them for like 5 or 6 years. But for some reason, this big tour was all of a sudden, oh, this is going to be the big launch, the relaunch of the hats. You know, and you picture yourself in these clubs or these bars or these restaurants, and you're like, I'm having a nice meal and I've got my trilby on. And only that trilby is going to make that picture that you see in your head. And so because I'd created this future scenario of wearing these ridiculous hats, not at the same time, by the way, but yeah, I could not take them. So even though I was packed, my bag was fully packed, I was like, where am I going to put these hats? Oh, they won't go in here. They won't go in there. And I started to get rid of other stuff just to make room for the hats. And they still wouldn't go. And they're folded up. And you can't fold them up because they're, you know, they're precious and things like that. And then, yeah, so my partner at the time was just like, what are you doing, you idiot? Just don't take the hats. Like, you're never going to wear them. And I'm like, you don't know. And literally for about an hour, I sat on the floor looking at this backpack that was full of stuff and trying to remove this vision of myself wearing these hats. And eventually I did, and, you know, got over the fact that the trip wasn't a make or break whether I took a trilby hat or not. It just wasn't, right? It wasn't. And over that trip, you know, like every place I went to, I started to relinquish more and more stuff. And yeah, you just tended to forget about the things that you didn't take because you realized that they weren't that important to begin with.
Yeah.
So there's this whole big story about, you know, these damn hats.
Well, I think it's worth talking about because especially as I try to promote more travel with carry-on bags only, a lot of people are like, I can't do that. I need, you know, 5 pairs of shoes and all of these different things. And you just see them going through the list of all the things that they just, you know, can't live without. So I think it's good that you documented that experience of kind of working through the logic of packing, because I think so many of us have been there and done that. But it's just really taking a step back and really thinking about it. Like, do I actually really need this thing? Like, is it an essential or can I get away on this trip without it? You know, if you really do need something, oftentimes you can go and buy it, you know, yeah. I'm sure you have, like, you know, your passport, your money to kind of get around and all that kind of stuff. So
trust me, there was a couple of rules that I heard very, very recently. And depending on your family setting, your lifestyle currently, if you're on your own or if you're without kids, it's minus 25% of the things you would have taken. If you have kids, plus 25% of what you would be taking. So depending on the type of situation you're currently in, a friend of mine who has young kids basically said, look, take what you think you need plus like three times the amount of snacks and other bits and pieces, you know, because that's what's going to happen. But at that time, I didn't need that particular situation. So minus 25% as a bare minimum would have been completely fine. And as your time went on, I probably didn't need maybe 60-70% of the things I took in the end. Including like a really nice pair of shoes. One time I wore them shoes, and that was purely just because I hadn't worn them yet. I thought, I'm gonna wear these shoes. I'm just gonna wear these shoes just because I've brought them with me. Minus 25 and plus 25 depending on your situation.
No, that's good tips. So the other thing I wanted to ask was, like, what that was like to, you know, sell all of your stuff. And I think I've heard other people say, oh, I can't travel, I don't have the money, I don't have the time. And, you know, there's all these excuses that come up. But I think, like, the cool thing was, is like, you really showed that there, you know, at the time when you were doing your travel, you know, you were like, I don't really have the money to travel, but I'm going to sell my stuff and do all these things so that I can afford to go and travel. So you did it. I was just curious, like, that must have been such a crazy feeling to just not have any stuff.
It was really freeing and immediate rewards. It felt like it was the right thing to do at the time. So obviously the immediate rewards were space and money, which I could use straight away. You know, the space just to be able to come home from a busy day and just not be bombarded with stuff, like taking my attention away. It was just space. I had like a nice bit of calm, so I could relax, which then created more creativity, had more ideas to then do travel planning. And then the money really helped to start the journey. So booking flights and booking hotels and hire cars and, you know, getting insurance. And there's so many things when you go on those long trips that are like 6 months plus, there's so many things you have to cater for, like insurance and injections, car hire insurance and personal excess cover and the flights and all these types of things. And as you start to chip away at those things, obviously then your budget starts to get a hit as well. And when I was looking back at the things I was selling, I was like, you know what, you know, my DVD collection paid for a flight to Copenhagen. And I was like, I can watch all of those films on Netflix, right? I was like, why have I never done this? And I suppose, you know, at that time, it was the right time for me. And now the good thing is I can kind of tell that story, because there isn't really a right time or a wrong time. You just kind of feel what's right, what's going on for you in this moment in life, and what's your why? You know, what would you be doing more of if you had less stuff to kind of take away all your resources and things like that? When I got back, there was a few kind of things where I was like, oh, will I miss like the 8 or 9 work suits that I had that I had never wore? And I was like, if I get a new job, will I need to wear a tie? I got rid of all my ties. Oh no. But then it never happened anyway. So almost like you start to catastrophize about that thing that you've let go of, and you think, oh no, I'm probably going to use it now. But you really quickly forget. And so there was, I had a PlayStation 3, right? I had a PlayStation 3. I gave it to my brother and I said, I'm never going to use it. I don't have any DVDs to play on it. I've sold all my games, have it. And then I had that little pang of like, oh, but what if a new game comes out and I really want to play it? So I had a couple of those, but then you quickly kind of forget that, you know, you're on an adventure and you know, I'm gonna go into an elephant sanctuary in a minute. So why am I thinking about playing Call of Duty? It's not gonna happen. So there's lots of kind of these little situations that pop up. But the good thing is, if you are intentional with the decisions that you make and the resources that you have, if that 1% kind of thing pops up, maybe because you've sold a lot of other stuff and you have a little bit of surplus, you can rebuy something if you need it. But we tend to worry about that kind of 1%, the kind of what I like to call the just in case or just in cases. And so, yeah, we spend a lot of time thinking about those and not about the 99% of the other stuff that we've got that we haven't used, like the board games and the books and all the other bits and pieces. But yeah, coming back, I did start to not panic, but I started to think a bit more deeper about the things that I already got rid of, and it inspired me to get rid of even more. So actually what I had more clothes that I'd stored away just in case. Yeah. I got rid of pretty much all of them. And yeah, it just triggered that necessity of less or enough. I was like, I have enough to be completely fine. And I've just gone and traveled around the world with enough, and everything was fine. Actually, it was better than fine. It was brilliant. So yeah, so you do kind of overthink sometimes about the things that might impact you in your future, but you quickly forget about them.
Yeah, no, it seems like from what you've said, there's just been a lot of benefits for you, especially moving into this minimalist lifestyle and being able to transition into a different style of work as well, and kind of have more, I guess, control on like your work weeks and, you know, finding that happiness of what you really enjoy. And I think your story was it resonated a lot with me, because a lot of what you documented are things that I felt that I've, you know, gone through over the course of the last couple of years. And as I talk to different people, it seems like they're kind of going through it, and it's ever evolving. Like, I feel like, you know, you don't really get settled into one point of your life, because it's always changing. And I watch it with my parents, you know, as they go into retirement and they're starting to downsize. You know, I watch it as people, you know, might move with their families. And, you know, I dislike moving. It is the one thing I just really don't like having to do, but I move so much that it's like, it's always a consistent in my life that I always have to face with this. But I just think it's really cool to hear. And I went to a conference, I think it was last year, and there was a guy that was a speaker, and he was talking about his book that he had put out about happiness and how to be happy in the latter part of your life. And he said a lot of what you need to do is have an opposite of a bucket list, have an unbucket list. He's like, you need to learn to live with less, because you know, your chances of happiness are actually significant if you can learn to part with certain things. And so I thought that was kind of fascinating. And I think a lot of that ties into some of the things that you've chatted about with your journey into minimalism. So I found it like really nice to kind of read through your book and see some of those things. And especially with, you know, your career journey. And I was laughing at in another chapter, because I found myself doing this, where you were in a job and you were kind of using, like, you had like a document that you would, you know, leave your notes for yourself as you were learning the job, but it almost started to become a journal.
Yeah. I've still got it.
And
I still use it to this day.
That's hilarious. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I have the thing, like, we started transitioning to a project management platform at work. And people, and even myself, when we started using it, I was like, oh my gosh, I hate this thing. I don't want to use it. It's now I have to do my work in this thing and, you know, the other thing. But then I started looking at the benefits of it. And it's to keep you productive and to, you know, keep you on track of your projects. And I was like, I wonder if I could use this for my own personal life. And I started tracking my own personal development and, you know, things through that. And it's just been really interesting to like have that thought process. And it was kind of cool to see, you know, you doing kind of a similar thing. And like I said, like my journey into becoming more of a minimalist is something that I didn't just sit down and think about one day. I started doing it, and then people started calling me out on it. And I was like, I guess that is what I'm doing. I guess, you know,
I'll take it.
Yeah. And then I started looking into it more, and then I was like, oh, okay. Like I can really resonate with this. So, I thought it was really interesting, like the thought process and kind of, you know, just really your journey. It's just been really cool to kind of follow along. So.
Oh, bless you. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I find it fascinating to this day that there are people around the world that will message me or get in touch and be like, I've read your story and I've found it hilarious, ridiculous, inspiring. And I'm like, but I'm still scratching my head. I'm like, but this is just in my head, I'm just a normal guy who did I suppose, abnormal things.
Yeah.
And told people about it. But I've got to give credit to my mates, because when I came back from traveling, I told them the story. They said to me, you should write a book. I told them to fuck off, because I was like, well, my teacher when I was 16 failed me at my English literature A level. So for those stories I was telling me over those years, like, oh, I can't write at length. They said, oh, no, it's really kind of interesting. It's a different way of living and kind of how to be a little bit happier with less. And I was like, fuck it, all right, I'll give it a go. And I just kept, I used pictures that I'd taken on my phone as milestones. And yeah, so I pretty much put like a first draft of this book, and then I got an editor to kind of read it over. And he was like, yeah, this is a super fascinating story. I'll help you kind of shape it. And I was like, whoa, it's really happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, then you have the imposter syndrome, which ironically I'm doing a session on tomorrow. And it was, okay, well, yeah, this is my story. This is my kind of sharing of the good, the bad, the ugly, and all the kind of funny bits in between. And people might enjoy it, because there's something that resonates with that story of kind of overwhelm of life, overwhelm of stuff, and the kind of the freeing feeling you get by letting go.
Yeah.
And I think today, Kelsey, in the world that we're living in, especially the Western developed or developing world that we're currently facing, various, you know, cost of living crisis, political instability, structural instability, especially where I live, social activism, climate issues. You know, a lot of these things are changing the way we live life. But if you boil it down, it all comes down to enough and less, because we've been overspending, overconsuming, and all of these kind of ideas on the world that we've got maybe need to evolve a little bit. And it all kind of surrounds this concept of a little bit less. You know,
yeah.
I got an email today, right? So as you probably know, energy bills, huge.
Yes.
Right. So my heating in my house is ridiculous. So I got an email from a company that I use to get my electricity and my gas through. And they said, oh, by the way, we're doing a special thing. Like, if you can turn your heating off between the hours of 5 and 6, eventually we won't have to use, or what is called, like, dirty energy or dirty coal. So companies now, decent companies, are encouraging less. You know, consume less, have enough. And that can be difficult for people that have, you know, been brought up on a more equal success type approach in life. Because I always remember going back to work and going to people, why don't we do less? And then people just laughing at them again. Who's this joker?
Yeah.
Like, it's not what we do. If you do more, you'll earn more money and you'll get more profit and things like that. And so I just tested that, and it found out that was no longer true in certain parts of certain teams and things like that, because we were just being busy for just being busy's sake. But you know what started all that? Travel.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to have this mindset without the travel part. And there's a bit in the book about how it can improve your creativity and productivity and things like that. So this guy called Adam Galinsky, and he's a psychologist, and I think he's based out of the Columbia Business School. And he was saying about that travel tends to change the way we think about the world or approach the world, and it can make our minds more open. And I always think back to the challenges that you have to overcome when you're traveling, or the people that you meet, or the cultures that you go into. Like, immersing yourself in a different culture opens your brain up to be what this thing called cognitive flexibility. And extended travel especially can improve productivity and problem solving and all these other wonderful things. And what I found is that I came back from traveling, my confidence levels were through the roof, because I was like, if I can get through doing a trek in the Myanmar countryside in the middle of nowhere and still be completely fine and have a great time, I should be able to present a spreadsheet at a presentation. Yeah. I mean, it puts things into perspective, yeah. And it allows you to challenge a little bit more what the status quo that you had before going traveling and seeing the world a little bit. So you kind of get to feel like what is really important here. And people currently are really overwhelmed and overworking, and record levels of burnout have been reported in the UK and in Europe. And it's based on old assumptions around how we should be working and living. And my challenge to people is like, you know, what if you didn't do that? What would be the impact? And try some experiments. So yeah, and in my personal life, I found that less was more, because I went back to find a job that I really liked, and my salary went up by 50%. I mean, that's a pretty good pay rise, you know what I mean? But if I'd have stayed in that same comfort zone, it would have been like 1%, maybe 2% if I was lucky. So yeah, so going traveling was a huge catalyst to this kind of minimalist way of living and viewing the world, not just in personal lives, but professional lives as well.
Yeah, I think there's so many benefits of being able to travel. And that was one of the big reasons why I wanted to do a podcast and to get more information to people. Again, like, I didn't anticipate my life kind of moving in this direction, but I ended up moving into a role in corporate social responsibility and environmental sustainability, which was,
yeah, you did,
super cool. And the one thing I felt immense guilt about, though, was I love to travel, and I knew the effects of traveling on the planet. And one of my roles is to actually take all of the emissions from every flight that every employee across our company has taken and calculate our CO2. And so, you know, you feel a little bit guilty because it's like, well, I know, you know, I want to travel. And I remember I was living with a roommate at the time, and I had pitched this idea after I had done some travel. And I told him, I was like, I really want to do something around carry-on bag traveling, because that's what I've done for pretty much my entire life. But I was like, I feel this guilt of I'm in this role that is trying to do good for the world, and here I'm going traveling, you know, via planes and trains and automobiles. And he said, he's like, why not do it around the impact of carry-on bags traveling with less? You have less of a footprint on the world as you're traveling.
Yeah. I was like,
that is so true.
Genius.
I was like, this is why you're in advertising.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it was really cool. And so then that was kind of my thought was, yeah, like, you know, there are so many benefits to your point of being able to travel more minimally, but also there's this other side of it, of, you know, the things that you can consider when you don't take a checked bag, that's less weight going on the plane, that's less fuel being burned. When you're traveling with less, you are more cognizant of what you're bringing with you. And, you know, anything that you accumulate trash wise, you want to make sure that, you know, you leave any place you visit better than you found it. So I find, like, you start to, it does like change your mindset on things. And it's funny now, because it's like the first thing I look at when I look at a hotel, it's like, what's their sustainability policy? You know, I like start seeing these things. And, you know, like with the energy thing, when you start seeing these companies that have that, you know, corporate social responsibility that they care, you're more empowered to buy with them or to, you know, shop with them and consume their products because you think of those things. And so it's been kind of cool to transition into this lifestyle. I'm not perfect by any means. I didn't start, you know, in this realm of, you know, being an environmentalist, but now that I'm moving into it, I'm understanding that a lot more people are like me, where they don't even know where to start. And I want to be able to help, you know, bring people along to say, here's what I'm doing and here's what I'm figuring out. But I think to your point, it's all those little things that, you know, when people start calling it out to you, you don't think about it. Like, I would not have thought between the hours of, you know, 5 to 6, you know, the energy that, you know, can be more efficient if you're not turning, you know, on or, you know, natural.
I didn't know that. And literally till about a couple of hours ago that they said that we've got reserves of coal. And once the UK or part of the UK's recyclable energy tips over and then goes into the dirty energy, that's when we start using more coal. And so until that kind of guy would have emailed like a whole batch of customers and said, look, by the way, this happens. If you can turn your stuff off between these peak hours, we don't then use the reserves, which is the dirty energy. And I was like, brilliant, great idea. All right, well, I'll turn it off, no problem. But yeah, I'm totally with you in regards to like the, I suppose the conflict that you have with going these, you know, these massive distances and then your impact on the planet. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we're probably all a little bit hypocritical because we all need to buy stuff. Like we need to buy stuff to go places and experience those types of things. And you know, I was watching the this, how much of a geek I am. I was watching some footage from the World Economic Forum yesterday because it's they're in Davos, the 2023 conference. And I mean, check this out. I wouldn't have been talking about this like 5 years ago, Kelsey. Like, but it's interesting. I find it fascinating now. And they were talking about sustainability issues. But obviously, to get people out there, people would have gone on private jets. Yep. You know, they're not doing stuff for free. You know, how are they catering for the event? You know, how are they providing it? So all these types of things are still happening to spread the word of sustainability. And we still have that conflict in traveling as well. But what I've found over the last couple of years, especially during COVID, when we couldn't really do long travel cross country, was micro adventures. And so what I've been doing more of recently is weekends or even day trips into places in your country that you might not have ventured to before. And actually they can become like really quite poignant because they become more stories and you open up your world to a different part of the place that you live. And so in 2021, after being kind of locked indoors for months on end, once again, I sold the place that I was living. So actually the end of the book is also at the start of the second one, which I've not finished yet. But yeah, once again, I sold that property and most of the furniture in it and just packed up my car with my dog and went and lived in maybe 7 or 8 places in 2021. So I basically talked my employer into my job being fully remote. And as a, you know, one-to-one coach, it was pretty straightforward to do more, you know, Zoom sessions rather than in person, rather than travel around the UK to do a 1 hour face-to-face. It was pointless. Yeah. So I packed up my tiny little car and lived in different places in the UK, places that I'd like to go, but I'd only been there for like a day. And so I lived in like national parks and I lived in like close to like tiny little villages and things like that. And in every different place, a different experience. Because I'm very much a city boy, right? I'm a Londoner. So I'm used to Ubers. I'm used to Deliveroo. I'm used to stuff, going to the cinema and walking 5 minutes, right? And I lived in the countryside. I wanted to get my hair cut. I was like, well, that's a fucking half hour drive. I'm like, yeah. I can't pop out to anything. Now I have to actually plan my day and it's going to be a minimum of an hour and a half to do a food shop because I've got to drive to the place, do the thing and drive back. And so there was nothing that was like within like a walking distance anywhere. You had to drive. And so that was a different approach of life and different people, different dialect, you know, different customs, even in the same country, but in a different part of the world. Different customs. So all of those little kind of mini adventures, even though I was working at the time as well, were amazing. And it didn't have to be this big, you know, 15 flights, 20 countries, big adventure. Yeah. They were small ones. And so, yeah, that's what I the only thing I was going to mention to support people where there is a cost of living crisis and maybe people are thinking, I can't afford to go traveling, and the conflicts of their footprint on sustainability. Is micro adventures. What can you do? What can you do near you that you've not done? You know, whether it's camping in a forest or a national park overnighter, those types of things can, I suppose, be more attainable for people whilst we're in this kind of really difficult situation.
I actually did that recently here in Vancouver. I lived here for 4 years, then I moved, and then I came back. And I had never gone to, we have like a tourist attraction, which is called the Suspension, or Capilano Suspension Bridge, actually, is what it's called. And It's kind of expensive, but they have a deal that if you are a local, I think it's $60 for like a year membership, and you can go whenever you want. And my friend was visiting from Toronto. And so I was like, let's go. You know what? Who cares? Let's just pay the $60. It's something that we can do. But as we researched, it was really cool because I didn't realize they offered a bus that could take you up there. So having to drive. And it was beautiful. And it was just like this nice bridge that you walked along outside, and they had all these lights, and it was during Halloween, and it was really cool. And I was just like, this was here the whole time, and I never went to it. And then I think I've gone back 3 times since I was like, I'm going to make this $60 worth it.
Oh, you've got your money's worth.
Yeah. Nice. But it's just really cool. And to your point, like micro adventures are totally like, if you just want that burst of travel and you can't exactly get out, like look around and see what you have locally. And you can still explore a ton of different stuff. And as I have started to do more research to kind of harbor some of the guilt I was feeling, like a lot of the articles I came across were saying, like, you know, if you're booking a trip, try to not book connecting flights. Like try to, if you can, do like a long haul, like one flight. It's better on emissions. And I believe Skyscanner and a couple other airlines have a calculator that shows you which of their flights have less emissions. And there's like, I think, a little green leaf. So you can look for stuff like that. So at least when you're traveling, you can find alternatives to feel better if you are eco-conscious. And even if you're just looking to your point of, you know, just making small little changes that you feel good about, those are all little things that you can do and still be able to travel and see the world and, you know, have that experience and not be held back.
I plan to come over to US and Canada at some point this year and do like another road trip for like 3 weeks. And again, this is where the conflict is, because I'm going to be hiring a car, which I'm going to be pumping shitty emissions into the air for 3 weeks. So yeah, so the conflict is always there. But yeah, I've been on Skyscanner today already and looking at the what's the most kind of economical and kind of better for the planet approach. Yeah. It's a constant battle. But you know what, Kelsey, what I think really helps people, because we all have access to information. We have access to blogs, podcasts, you know, there's so much advice out there to how you can go about doing things. You know, people can listen to you and get some great advice on where to go, what to do, how to get there and things like that. But the sticking point is the default and the psychology behind it. And what we tend to do is we tend to go with the, I can't do it as the default option, right? And here's a perfect example, literally weeks old, so hopefully people can resonate with this, right? So my current girlfriend is different from the one in the book, right? But she's a single mum, right? She's a parent, and she's got a five-year-old daughter, adorable. She went to Vietnam with her friend for 2.5 weeks, and you're kind of thinking, well, how dare she kind of leave her daughter on her own for 5.5 weeks with the dad or with a grandparent or whatever. But she needed to unplug from real life, and she's gone away and come back. And honestly, Kelsey, she is a changed woman. Like, she is so much more motivated. She is so much, her view of the world is so positive and so optimistic. That is going to spread to a ripple effect across all the people that she touches, including her daughter. So actually, the likelihood is that she'll be a better mum. She'll be a better parent, she'll be a better friend, a better partner. And actually her view on the world now is, what is the art of the possible? What can I achieve and what can I do, right? So even her work, right? Even her work are going to get a better version of her now. Like she's thinking like, oh, I'm going to be doing this and I'm going to get promotions. She's so motivated because she went traveling. It was only a couple of weeks, right? She went to Vietnam, went to about 6 or 7 destinations, right? So squeezed quite a bit into a short space of time. It definitely wasn't slow travel. It was quite quick. But she's come back and her view on the world is completely different. Nothing's changed at home.
Yeah.
But her view on the world is completely changed. So, and then on the flip side, her other friend who, similar situation, parent, has a job. Why don't you go traveling? No, I can't do that. And that's fair enough, right? But that tends to be our default, is that I can't do that because, and then we start listing the reasons why.
Yeah.
If we were to change the mindset and going, well, actually, what could I do? I could probably do a weekend, you know, or I could do a day out, or I could take the kid with me, right? Yeah. Apparently, there was loads of tiny kids out there with parents. So, you know, as an educational aspect, showing kids a different view of the world when they're growing up, I mean, that might be just as good as learning maths at school for a couple of weeks. You know what I mean? It's just a different approach to how we think about things. Well, what is the art of possible? What can I do, rather than a blanket no, it's not possible? And once we change that mindset, it opens up your world a little bit more, and you have a bit more optimism and things like that. So that would be one thing I'd probably encourage your listeners, is, you know, potentially move away from, I can't do that thing because of, and the list, right? Yeah. We already know that.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my kind of, that's actually happening in my world right now.
I love that. It's very much reframing that self-talk that you say to yourself, because I think, like you said, it's so easy. And I think it's so inspirational to kind of lean back to what you said previously about, you know, when you were in school and being, you know, maybe told or getting the assignments back that your writing isn't great, but that didn't hold you back from writing a book. Now it sounds like a second book. And I think that we can go through life and let these instances really impact and shape us. And we can say, well, so-and-so said this to me, and I, so that means I can't do it. But it's not true. Like, who you are now compared to who you are, you know, when you were in school is probably night and day different. And you know, you should never hold yourself back by, you know, things in the past that maybe somebody had said, because that's not always true. So I think it's a very powerful statement to leave, you know, the listeners with, of just thinking of that when it comes to whether it's travel or becoming a minimalist, or, you know, just whatever it is you want to have more space of in your life. Just reframing your thinking.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's kind of my whole bag, really, Kelsey, is to go into different pockets of society, whether it's corporates or charities, or even like on podcasts or one-to-one coaching. The whole point is just slightly reframe your view on the world. And I always remember listening to this quote, and I can't remember who it was by, and I'm gutted that I can't credit that person, but if you were to move your ship 1 degree, you would end up in a completely different place from where you were heading. And I always remember that. And so even changing just the tiniest of thing in your world could end up changing your life significantly for the better. And whether that is, you know, going to bed 20 minutes earlier, something as simple as that, or, you know, leaving your phone off between, you know, between 10 and 10. Now, think, you know, things like that, those types of things can really positively impact your world. And then it ripple effects to the world around you. So your people, your friends, your family, all that stuff. So yeah, that's why kind of traveling and minimalism does for me. And I don't tend to kind of use the kind of woo-woo terms too much, because I know it can put people off, but it can be quite significant, you know, it can be quite significant in your life. So yeah, letting go and changing your direction slightly, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, whatever your thing is, your ism is, go for it, embrace it. And eventually you'll have a positive impact on the world around you.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I feel like that's like a perfect note to end on. And before we do, I know that I will, in the podcast show notes, link to your website, to your book. But did you have anything?
Yes, thank you for the prompt. Thank you for reminding me, Kelsey. Yeah. So the website, lessisprogress.com, have a look on there. There's some free stuff. Go grab whatever you need, you want in your personal or professional life. But yeah, the book Discovery of Less is out wherever you buy books. But I've just recorded the audiobook version. Right? So I was in the studio for 3 days. And if there's a kind of funny story, if you have a look on my Instagram, which is just put Chris Lovett in and look for the guy with the big hair. I made over 1,000 mistakes on the audiobook. This is a book that I've written, right? So I should know the words. I made over 1,000 mistakes. And so it's like a story of literally just my face going, oh, that's amazing. And then going, oh, fuck, what does that mean? Am I a failure? But it's done and it's really good. And it should be out by the time this podcast comes out. But I do have some free codes to give away. I think I've got about 10, right? So if you've got Spotify now have audiobooks on there, but they make it really weird. So you can't buy them on the app. You have to buy them on the desktop and it's not perfect yet. But I have some codes. So if you want one of those codes so you can get the audiobook version for free, follow me on Instagram and just message me and say, can I get a free audiobook? And I will send you one. So first 10 people, because I've only got 10 codes, right? There's also, I think there's about half an hour worth of additional content that isn't in the paperback, because the paperback is now about 18 months old. And I've started writing the second book, which is called Relentless. So I did there. There we go. So, and it's more focused on our kind of the relentless modern world that we live in, where it's like 24/7 always on mentality, and it's more for kind of like the professional aspects, you know, less meetings, less email, all that type of stuff. So no one has read any of that yet, and I've put the first chapter on the audiobook at the end. So if you want to get that, and you'll get some bits and pieces, some science, some research, and some kind of funky Cockney tips about maybe how to use minimalism at work, then yeah, get the audiobook from me, and I can you'll get an extra half hour of content on the back of that. But yeah, it's like 7 hours, so it's like a good stint, right? So if you want a free copy, find me on Instagram and drop me a message, and I will send you a code and you can go and grab it and listen to it on Spotify.
Amazing. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I hope everyone goes and checks it out.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. I think that's pretty much it. I mean, the stuff's on the website, right? So yeah, go and have a peek and reach out, because I love to connect with different people and kind of hear their stories. And, you know, I've told my story and I want to hear your story. And so, yeah. Is this the start of yours, or is this the end of this part of your chapter? I just love hearing people's different stories and the challenges that they have to overcome and things like that. It's truly inspirational to me. And you never know, your story might make it into my next book. So who knows?
There you go. Cool. Well, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, Kelsey.
Thank you so much for listening to the Carry On Bags Only podcast. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Until next time, keep calm and carry on.